This weekend, after having attended Tyler and Jackie's wedding yesterday, now we have this reading, the second reading today from St. Paul to the Ephesians. It seems that God is really giving us the opportunity to reflect on the good of marriage. And it's helpful for us to remember that marriage is found throughout the scriptures from the very beginning until the very end. In Genesis chapter 1, God creates the man and the woman, and he creates them in equality. They're equal to one another. And he tells us that the man and the woman are created in his image and likeness. And then he tells that man and that woman to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and to subdue it. And then throughout the Old Testament, God compares his relationship with Israel to a marriage. He says to Israel, who was always unfaithful to him, he says to Israel, "I will espouse you to myself forever." And that was, in all the preaching of the prophets, that was the most privileged analogy for God's relationship to his people, his marriage. And it was always clear that Israel was unfaithful in its marriage to the Lord, but that the Lord was faithful and always would be faithful. And then we, coming from the Old Testament, we move right into the New Testament, where Jesus, in various words and actions, reveals himself to be the divine bridegroom. So Jesus himself, in his own person, is the fulfillment of all those promises and prophecies that God made to Israel, that God would espouse Israel to himself forever. And where does this happen literally? Well, it happens when the bridegroom gives over his body for the sake of his bride. And that happens at the cross, when Jesus' body is broken and his blood is shed. And two members of the church are right at the foot of the cross to receive his blood, Mary and his beloved disciple, St. John. And the church is born there. But Jesus himself is the divine bridegroom, and the church, his bride. And that's what St. Paul reminds us of today in our second reading. He quotes Genesis, which is a passage we've all heard before. Maybe you had it at your own weddings, this passage from the second chapter of Genesis. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And then Paul tells us that this is a great mystery, but he's speaking of Christ and the church. And so the marriage of a man and a woman becomes a marriage, a union in one flesh, literally, because man and the woman become one in body as well as in soul. But St. Paul is telling us that that union between the man and the woman is actually a sign and a symbol of a greater and more important union, which is between Christ and his church. And when does that happen, or how does that happen? What happens here at the altar? Because here we're brought back in a mystical way to the cross, where Christ gives his body and blood for the sake of his bride, the church. And his bride is gathered here at the foot of the cross, we could say, all of us who are members. And what do? We receive the body of the bridegroom into ourselves, where he creates between us and him an intimate union, the best metaphor for which is marriage. So this is where Jesus, to even today in Tyler, Minnesota, at this beautiful morning, Jesus today fulfills the prophecies that God has made for centuries, that he's going to love his people like a faithful bridegroom loves his bride. And all of the best aspects of the bridegroom towards his bride we can apply to ourselves here, like Jesus the bridegroom comes here to be our protection, be our security. It's like what every husband in this room strives to do for his bride and his children, to be protector, to be leader, to give security. That's exactly what Jesus does for us in the Eucharist, as he weds himself to us and promises protection. And the good news is that he's the faithful bridegroom. So even though we struggle so much to be faithful, even though we make so many mistakes ourselves, we can easily fail at our vocation to be spouse. Jesus never fails in his vocation to be spouse. He's always trustworthy, so we can always trust him and always trust ourselves to him. And he really wants us to believe this. Our gospel reading is very much connected to this, because we just heard in our gospel how Jesus is talking to his disciples at the end of John chapter 6, and then these disciples say, "This teaching is hard, who can accept it?" And then we hear that a number of them, many of them, leave him and return to their former way of life. And it was only the 12 who stayed with him at that time. Well, what was that hard teaching that they found so difficult to accept? Well, it was Jesus' teaching on the Eucharist, when he said, "I am the bread of life." When he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you." So he's telling his disciples that they need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And of course they thought that that sounded ridiculous to them. What does that even mean, that we would eat your flesh and drink your blood? But yet Jesus insisted. When the disciples said, "Well, this is hard to hard saying, we don't understand it," and they begin to leave, Jesus could have said, "Well, I didn't mean, you're misunderstanding, or I didn't really mean it when I said that you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." But he doesn't say that. He lets them go because they understood what he meant. And so this is what we do today. Jesus, the divine bridegroom, gives us his blood and his flesh to eat. And he really wants us to believe in him, to believe that it's really him. That he gives himself to us in the most real way, not just in a spiritual relationship, but in the physical relationship with us as well, because he even gives himself to us physically. A bridegroom and a bride don't just have a spiritual relationship, but it's physical as well. It involves the whole of the human person, which is body and soul. That's how literally Jesus gives himself to us as bridegroom to bride. Gives us the gift of his body. It's a physical union as well as a spiritual union. And he wants us to receive this as a gift. Just as you husbands want your bride to receive you as a gift, to be a gift for your bride, this is how Jesus wants us to receive him as a gift of love. So today, let's give thanks, first of all, for the good of marriage and the natural good that this is in our lives. How much good there is in marriage and family, and how blessed we are to have such good marriages in our family, who bearing fruit in good families, good children who make good families as well. So we give thanks to God for that gift, but even more so, we give thanks to God that he's given us in himself, as a bridegroom gives himself to his bride, that this is for each one of us, that he really wants us to believe this, to believe it's really him in the Eucharist, and to believe that when we receive the Eucharist, he renews his covenant with each one of us, promise to love, to be faithful, to protect, to care for and nurture. Is the personal promise that Jesus makes with each one of us today. Let's ask for the grace to believe in the promise that Jesus makes. Let's ask for the grace to receive him in love, to receive the gift that he offers us today.